a conversation with the president of the World Bank.
Let Marketplace be your guide to the modern world. Subscribe to the Marketplace Tech Report podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Borrowing costs in Spain have reached the highest level since the country joined the euro in 1999. We're at another one of those make-or-break moments for Europe. Elections in Greece this weekend could lead Greece to exit the euro. Yesterday, I was in Washington to speak with one of the most powerful people in the economic world, Robert Zoellick, the president of the World Bank. I started by asking him about his concerns heading into this weekend.
Well, you know, the eurozone has been an ongoing source of anxiety, not only in Europe, but for the whole international economy. And so I think going into the Greek election, the question will be, will the next Greek government negotiate to stay within the eurozone with a sweeter deal? Will that be acceptable to the Germans and others? And then what are the ramifications of this for Spain and others that have problems with their financial system and debt?
Do you think the euro is going to stay together?
That's ultimately for Europeans to decide. I think it can. I think it would be healthier for the international system, but it'll require more and different actions than have been taken so far.
Now, you've just warned that developing countries far from Europe are at risk from this whole crisis. What are you asking them to do?
One of the things that many people are unaware of is over the past 5 years, developing countries have provided about 2/3 of global growth. But we're moving into a new and in some ways more precarious phase because we're 4 years into the crisis. Some of the politics in countries is running thin. And so we need to have developing countries prepare for the uncertainty. We're not trying to suggest that they put the brakes on their economic expansion, but we're suggesting they have to be well prepared for eventualities that none of us can predict.
Well, what's the next big crisis that you're worried about once we get past this European debt crisis?
Well, that's a big thing to get past, but I think the other issue is, you know, the United States still looms very large in the world economy.
Our debt you're talking about?
I'm starting out with our economy, but then the key issue that people will be focusing on with the Congress, but also this president, and if he's reelected, or Governor Romney, about how to deal with what's called the fiscal cliff. You have a number of things happening at the end of the year that relate to the budget, relate to spending, relate to potential revenues, relate to debt. And I think these are very important for the United States' ability to lead globally. About a month ago, the Australian Foreign Minister, Bob Carr, was in Washington, and he said something that stuck with me. He said, the United States is one budget deal away from restoring its global preeminence. And I think that's a good way of focusing on what the U.S. can do.
The World Bank came out with a report last week that I think would surprise some people because it's not what we think of when we think of the World Bank. But it said that as the world gets wealthier, the amount of waste that is produced around the globe is going to almost double in the next 13 years. Is that something that keeps you up at night in your job?
Well, I sleep pretty well, but maybe it's because I exercise. But the bank is much more than a bank as a financial institution. It's a research and analytical institution. The world economy reaches quite widely, and we need to try to support our client countries as it does so.
What have you learned about people in the last several years that you've been here at the bank?
Well, I guess that's an ongoing education. Well, I'll say this. We have people from about 170 countries at the bank. We have 188 shareholders. And there's a great challenge, but also great opportunity when you draw people together from different cultures and experiences to try to solve problems in a pragmatic way.
Coming up, what's next for Robert Zoellick? But first, a quick check of the markets. Hong Kong is down more than 1%. Paris and Frankfurt down also 1%. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 77 points to close at 12,496.
Do you enjoy the music we play between stories? Visit the Marketplace Music section to browse playlists for all of our programs and to buy those songs on Amazon. A percentage of each purchase goes towards supporting our programs. Find more online at marketplace.org/music.
Now let's get back to our interview with the president of the World Bank, Robert Zoellick, whose term ends at the end of this month. During his tenure at the bank, he's spoken a lot about the need for quick action on climate change. I asked him who's holding up progress.
We're a development institution. you will never deal with the questions of carbon unless you engage developing countries. So what we've tried to do is to try to show how you can have win-win prospects on energy efficiency, new uses of technology. We've done some investments in alternatives, how to connect this with your transportation systems. And the importance of this is it draws developing countries into a sense that they're part of the solution. But what I've been critical of is sometimes this idea that the real focus of attention is just on getting 195 countries to agree on a text. What we're trying to do is make a difference on the ground.
Do you think that the developed economies of the world right now have an unsustainable standard of living?
No, I'm not an anti-growth advocate. I think that depends on the economies. My goal is actually to increase developing countries' standard of living, and as they grow, they will be able to buy more from developed countries.
Let me just ask you a couple of final lightning round questions here. How many countries have you visited?
Too many to count. It does give you an interesting perspective. I'm trying to do a little bit more domestic travel in the United States. I haven't done enough of that recently.
Which country has the best food that you've been to?
Oh, that's a tricky one. I think I like my wife's cooking.
That's a good diplomatic answer. Any idea what's next for you? Will we see you in a Romney administration if there is one?
Well, I've consciously, as I've left the bank, not had discussions in any detail about what I would do next. And so I will probably have an association with a university, and I will probably do some speeches, and I'll decide about politics after I leave.
Robert Zoellick is the president of the World Bank. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks for inviting me.
And you can find more from our interview at marketplace.org. And finally, the owner of a billionaires club in Italy says he's closing up shop after more than 10 years. According to the Telegraph newspaper, Fabio Briatore is shutting the doors of his seaside resort where the rich and famous can sip champagne and party. Briatore says his next venture is to become Italy's Donald Trump, hosting a local version of The Apprentice. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.